She grew up in a home with a mother and a father, one brother, and two sisters. Her earthly life was spent in one town, in one house, where the Hollis family called Caledonia Road in Laurinburg, North Carolina. After high school, she went to Meredith College. Near the end of her days at Meredith in 1947, she got engaged and a year later was married. She moved back to the city of Laurinburg. Then in 1950, she and her husband moved to Pinehurst, North Carolina, where they printed the Pinehurst Outlook newspaper. While there, she gave birth to her first child, a daughter. 15 months later, she gave birth to a son. In 1954, the year that Hurricane Hazel blew through the community of Red Springs, the family moved to this community, and it would become their permanent home. There, they set up a print shop and printed the Red Springs Citizen and the St. Paul's Review. In 1957, they welcomed their third child into the world. Her home in 1960 was located at 308 North Edinburgh Street in Red Springs, and she would live there until the year 2008. In 1970, she enrolled in school at Pembroke State University, where she received her teaching certificate and taught kindergarten and the second grade until her retirement. While a member of the First Baptist Church of Red Springs, she taught Sunday school, was a WU director, a deacon, and a committee member, serving on about every role in the life of the church. She was blessed with two grandsons. In January of 2007, she buried her husband of 59 years. She moved to Lexington in September of 2008 and became a member of this church family. With mental health leading to other issues, she now makes her home at the North Carolina Baptist Home in Asheville, where she will probably live out her final years. She has a pleasant smile, a gracious spirit. But her memory and the person we've known and loved over the years is not my mother anymore. Frances Hollis Wilson is her name, and she is 85 years old. Fabric of our DNA. The DNA is that, as you know, that hereditary material in humans and almost all human organisms. For nearly every cell in our body has the same DNA or some DNA. There are DNA test kits that will check out your family tree. Often one is called Family Finder. They will help one discover your heritage on your mother or your father's side. Whereas they say you can match, discover, and connect. In essence, you can unlock your family history. Today I want us to look at a family and catch a glimpse of their DNA, of their history. This family had a father and a mother and two sons. We learn about them early in the book of Genesis. They are Isaac, Rebekah, Esau, and Jacob. Charles Chuck Poole, who delivered the 2007 Parker Lectures here at our church, writes in a book that he titled The Tug of Home that one of the top five saddest statements he has ever heard was spoken by Esau in that poignant cry when he says, "Have you only one blessing, Father? Bless me also Father. Poole writes, nobody wants to live an unblessed life. Everybody yearns to hear somebody say a blessing to them, for them, or about them. The family DNA of Rebecca and Isaac starts out when she was pregnant with the twins, Esau and Jacob. And we are told in scriptures that those babies struggled within her. The pain became so intense, she wonders aloud to God if she will even live to see them born. She is told there are two nations in your womb, two peoples who shall be divided. One shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the stronger, the weaker one. Already the picture is developing of two different babies. Esau would be the firstborn, and he would be a skilled hunter, a man of the field who liked to be outside doing things and working. Jacob was the second, and he was quiet. He enjoyed doing more inside and less outside. We are told as they were coming out of the womb that Jacob held on to the very heel of Esau at birth, and his name became that of trickster. It is the emotional hinge now on which the story turns on the matter of the blessing. With the help and direction of his mother, Jacob devises a plan to trick his brother for his inheritance and also trick his father. He wanted to gain the favor as the elder son. Isaac, being older, is unsure that this was his firstborn, but being almost blind, he thinks it must be because he is present with him, he's cooked a meal for him, he even feels and smells a bit like him. But it's Jacob, not Esau. You can imagine the disbelief and the hurt when Esau comes to his father with meal in hand, ready to receive the blessing, to find out that there was no blessing to receive. Old Isaac had been tricked. He had been deceived. He had been duped, and he has to say to Esau, "Son, I'm sorry. I've already given the blessing to your brother. I thought he was you, and I blessed him." Poole writes in the worlds of Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and Esau, once a word is spoken, it cannot be retrieved, canceled, undone, or annulled. Isaac had given the blessing to Jacob, and what was done was done. The blessing then carried the usual bestowal of property and possessions that we always think of at the death. But it also meant approval, pride. And you were number one. You were my firstborn. You were special. One writer says that Esau's reaction was anger against his brother, and he shook him to his very foundations. And he properly announced that he will kill his brother. What a mixed up family. What a DNA that seems conflicted in the fabric of this family. But as we step away from the story, every one of us yearns to receive a blessing, to be dedicated, to be honored, to be loved, to be cared for we are valued and we are loved by those around us. No matter what our DNA, we all want to be blessed. To receive the blessing or to realize the absence of the blessing is essential in the life of every one of us. From the little ones we dedicate today to my 85-year-old mother. To many individuals and parents, it is hard to give something that you yourself have never received. Thus, we witness that cycle of generation after generation of parents withholding the blessing from their children and children trying to please their parents continues to this day. And we do not have to look too far than the family of Isaac and Rebekah and the way they handled the blessing, the deception, the pain, the struggle that must have gone on in the lives of those individuals. There are no perfect parents. And nobody gets it right all the time, but hopefully we get it right some of the time. But hopefully that we all must recognize that we are the object of God's gift of love. The gift that cannot be earned but can only be received. The gift that we call grace from above. So as we step back on this Mother's Day, how does your DNA work? We all know our biology, or at least we hope we do. That double hex, a work of art, carries the traits of one generation to the next, copying and combining them with other DNA over and over and over again. So it is that I have my mother's eyes. I have her height. She says I have her bad teeth. I go back another generation and I discover in my grandmother the source of things also, and in my grandfather and in my father. For our physical and many of our emotional traits can be traced generation back to generation. My DNA may be good and it may be bad. My sister, who is a professor of biology, just retiring this year, taught for 29 years biology, and we'd sit around the table and discuss sea urchins and all kinds of exciting things at mealtime. We wonder aloud about our growing up and our future connected to our mother's DNA and where she is in her life. Who of us doesn't wonder, how will we be? How will life play out for us? But I am grateful. I am grateful to have been blessed by both a mother and a father. They were a blessing to me. And in some sense, for me and maybe for you, the fabric of our DNA and our family portrait are still developing, and we wonder where we are going and where we will end up. As we dedicate these today, the excitement and love that we see in them and the hope of the future, we will see how their DNA will play out and how these parents and we as a community will bless and raise and help them to be the people that God would have them to be. And also for them and for us, by the grace of God, the love of parents and family, and this church, this body of Christ, where we are all taught and colored and influenced in untold ways as we listen to one another and talk and share with one another, we find blessing. But more importantly, as we listen, as we talk with God, We witness His amazing grace and love, and we know that no matter who we are, what we've done, where we've been, where we will go, we are blessed. That is simply amazing. In his book, Whistling in the Dark, Frederick Buechner writes these words, and I quote, "When you remember me, it means that you've carried something of who I am with you, that I have left some mark of who I am on who you are. It means that you can summon me back to your mind, even though countless years and miles may stand between us. It means that if we meet again, you will know me. It means that even after I die, you can see my face and hear my voice and speak to me in your heart. For as long as you remember me, I am never entirely lost. If you forget me, part of who I am will be gone. I take comfort on this Mother's Day to know that even as life progresses and changes, and even in death, that my mother one day will see my face and hear my voice, and I hers. Because we are blessed by God, so as you, as I, remember my mother and all that she was, and as you remember and embrace your mother and parents, we recall how we are blessed by them, but above all that we are blessed by God. And even in Holy Scriptures, as we follow the story of Esau and Jacob, one day they too embrace, and one day they are blessed. Children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment that is promised, and attached to it, namely, so you will live well and have a long life. Thanks be to God.